Parshas Vayetze, Beis Tefillah, Tovshin Einhei. Yaakov gets a dream. Vayachloim v'hinei sulam mutzav arzo v'roshay magia shamoima v'hinei malachei elokim oylim v'yordim boi. So these are malachim who are trying to go up to heaven or go down. It, how do they go? They don't jump. They climb a ladder. And this itself is a very important message for us. You want to go up. It's so high. You can try and jump. You won't get there. You'll fall down. There's something called a ladder. The ladder works by step by step. And even if you go very slow, if you keep, as long as you're moving, you will get there. Step by step. A person says to himself, Shas is so big. I can't, it's overwhelming. You're right. Shamayim is also overwhelming. But go on a step by step ladder. To know Mishnah Berurah. Everyone has to know Mishnah Berurah. Can't live without knowing Mishnah Berurah. So much. You're right. Step by step. The highest building in the world. How much is it? 150 floors. However much it is. Even an old man could do it. As long as he's moving. Step by step. He will get there. It may take him the whole day. But he will get there. If you stop and you're stationary, you'll get nowhere. So this is a Pasht HaPshat. This is the power of a ladder. Every person must put up his own ladders to get to the places he wants to get to. As long as you are consistently moving, even if it's very small strides, you will get there, Bezrat Hashem. And Hashem reveals Himself to Yaakov. And Hashem says, V'hoyo, in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yud Dalet, V'hoyo zaracho ka'afar oretz. Your seed will be like the dust of the land, or foratzto yomo v'kedmo v'tzafoyno v'negba. And you will spread north in all directions. Says the Sforno. What's the connection to Afar Oretz and Faratz Yom HaVekedmo? Says the Sforno. When Am Yisrael will be B'tachlis HaShifrus, will be like dirt, like dust, that's when Faratz Yom HaVekedmo V'Tzafon Yom HaNegvah will happen. Because the Geula will come so unexpectedly, when things are so down. Maybe this is an inspiration for us, for Am Yisrael, when things look so down, the whole world is against us, and wherever the situation may be, but you know, dafka then is the time for geula. When things are hopeless, when things are tachlis tashiflus, that's when the time for the faratzta yom of a kedma of a tzafayna of a negba. In Pasuk Dezayin, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnosoi. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer Ochein Yesh Hashem B'Mokoyim Hazeh V'Anoichi Lo Yodati. Indeed, this is a holy place. I wasn't aware of it. Vayiro Vayomer Manoira Mokoyim Hazeh. Yaakov is afraid and he says, Manoira Mokoyim Hazeh Ein Zekim Beitz Elokim V'Zeh Shar Shomayim. And Yaakov has a pachad. I was sleeping in the Mokem HaMikdash, such a holy place. What does it mean? Vayikat Yaakov Mishnosai. Says the Medrash Rabbah, right here, Perek Samach Tes. Or is he? What does it mean, Mishnosai? Mishnosai. From his learning. Yaakov wakes up from his learning. Mishnah. What does that mean? Says the Eitz Yosef. Eitz Yosef is one of the Pirushim on the page in the Medrash. says that Chachmei Emes tell us, the Mekubarim tell us, that tzaddikim, when they go to sleep, the nefesh goes up to Yeshiva Shel Malo and learns Rosei Torah, learns the secrets. And then when they get up, like a Mayon HaMizgaber. It's quoted that the Ari Zal, his main hasagos, his main insights were achieved when he was asleep. Because the neshama mamash goes up to Yeshiva Shel Malo, amazing. It's supposed like stripped from the Gashmias, you can go up all the way up. Fantastic. Therefore, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnosai, he woke up from his sleep of Mimishnosai, from his learning. Because Adarabba, he was recharging his spiritual back when he's asleep. Gevaldik. But yet, even though Yaakov has been so elevated, he's just coming from his sleep of the Bezin Shemala. Yaakov says, but my noira mokem is there, oive, I've been sleeping in the mokem amigdash. A year of a yomar, he's very afraid of what happened. So we see from here, says the Moshe Sternbuch in his Sefer Tam Vadas, She'ein mitzvah rabo, even a great mitzvah, does not atone for a small avera. The fact that he achieves so much in sleep doesn't balance out. Well, maybe I did something wrong. Right? We sometimes tend to think, okay, we try and help someone. Oh, we said a little lashon hara on the way. Not so bad. I helped him. I gave him some good advice. I kind of knocked down a few people in the process. That neighbor and that guy in shul, I told him all sorts of interesting things about them. But you know, the big picture, I really helped this guy. No. Even a mitzvah rabba does not atone for an avera done on the way. And therefore, as much as Yaakov achieves in his sleep, amazing things, but the tzaddikim achieve in his sleep, kabbaldik, very nice. But still, Yaakov was concerned that I was sleeping in the mokim amigdosh. I wasn't aware of it, but still, Yaakov was concerned. And therefore, we have to be careful to make sure that what we do, things we do, are pure and don't involve little averas on the way. Yaakov goes to Choron, and he comes and he sees the three Edreitzoin who are lounging around. Vayomer, this is to be found in Per Choftes, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer, hein oid hayom godol. It's still midday. Lo eisa sefa mikne. It's not the time to gather in the flock. Hashku atzoin v'lechuru. You know, water your sheep and go and graze the lands. Why are you wasting your time? Rashi explains. He says, look, if you hired workers, your mama's stealing time from your employer. And if you are, even you're independent, still wasting your time. And what do they say? They explain to him, no, we can't. We have this heavy stone. We can't take it off. We have to wait for everyone to gather together. It's pretty incredible. A stranger comes to town and he starts criticizing the locals. They should have told him, who do you think you are? Chutzpah, this guy comes and starts telling us what to do. No, they were willing to hear the criticism and explain how did this happen. What was the secret that Yaakov was able to criticize them and they accepted it in a good way? Says the Ponovitch Rav, let's look how Yaakov started the conversation. In Perichov Tes Pasuk Dalet, when he meets them, Vayomerem Yaakov, Achai, my brothers, Ma'ainatem. Yaakov greets them with Achai, my brothers. If a person feels that you're against me, you're trying to crush me, so he can't hear. If you criticize him, he feels attacked. You're trying to destroy me, so shout back. But if you start off the conversation with Achai, I'm your brother, we're together. So then, the other party can hear, doesn't feel threatened. But it's not just lip service. It means you really mean it. Therefore, this is a tremendous message for us when we're dealing with our friends, our neighbors, the guys in shul, our children, our wives. Okay, we have comments to say, which are true. But if we feel achai, we feel we're not trying to knock you over, trying to improve the situation, let's do things better, let's do things correct, then the other party can hear. But if they feel it's you against me, then they can't hear what you're saying. And adrabba, they'll counterattack. A person told me yesterday, I met someone, told me a story. There was some tragedy happened, and the Bochrim decided, as a tikkun, they want to start a chabur of Lashon Hara, Hilchas Lashon Hara. So they went to the Mashgiach, and the Mashgiach to ask, what does he say about this? He says, no point. There's no reason why you should start a chabur of learning Hilchas Lashon Hara. They didn't understand why. He said, no point. So later on, the Mashgiach explained to them, if you have Avas Yisrael, then you don't need Hilchas Lashon Hara. Do you speak about your son? Do you go in shul and say you tell everyone about all the defaults of your son? No, because I'm a son. I want to protect. I don't want to harm him. So if you have Avas Yisrael, so you, why would you want to speak Lashon Hara? If you don't have Avas Yisrael, so what's the point? It's going to happen. But if you have Avos Yisrael, so you're not going to speak Lashon Hara. Why do you want to put someone down? Mashiach said, you should learn. After, now you understand what I'm saying, now you should start the Chabur Lashon Hara. But the point was trying to say, you can't stand be Lashon Hara, you have to care about other people. If you feel a chai, then maybe everything will fit into place. You can give some constructive criticism, it will be accepted. So that's a tremendous message for us. If we can improve in this point, then we'll live a much better life. Society will do so much better. Comes to Choron, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lavan hears that Yaakov has come. Vayaras Likrosai. This is his nephew. Vaychabeklo, he hugs him. Vaynashekro, he kisses him. Amazing, wonderful. Achronos Orchim. But Chazal tell us he wasn't trying to greet Yaakov. He was looking for the geld, for the money. As Rashi brings down, that he remembered that, you know, the Eved Avram. If Avram's Eved came with 10 camels full of good things, so surely Yaakov must have the same. So he saw it wasn't there. See, v'chaybeklo, he saw probably he had some precious stones, or you know, under his armpits, you know, hidden away. I once a guy was, he was a dollar changer. He would have all his dollars in his socks. His socks were worth thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. He had all of his socks pull out. He gave him a big hug, feel the precious stones. Okay, so that doesn't happen. He's probably has some, like, diamonds in his mouth. So you've kissed him, you feel, to feel, epis, to feel. So when I was young, I heard a tremendous insight in the name of the stipler. You have this guy, this is how you greet your nephew, that's all you care about is money. Let's see how old was Lavan at this incident. It's mamish bad mitzvah. What do you care about? Your own money. How old was he at the time? Let's work it out. Rashi in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Tes, tells us that when Yaakov left Choron, when Yaakov left Yitzchok, he was 63. That was his age. Now, between when he left and now, we have another 14 years where he was in Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. 63 plus 14 is 77, right? Now, that's how old Yaakov was. Yitzchok, So let's work out Rivka was. Rivka waited 20 years between her marriage and when she had children. Yitzhak was 40 when he married her and 60 when he got children. So let's add another 20 years from 77, we said. 77 plus 20, that's 97. So 97 years ago, Rivka got married. Right? The story with Eliezer. That the story of Eliezer, that was 97 years ago. Lavan was an active member over there. He was speaking with Psuel. He was answering. He was doing, right. So he wasn't a baby. So he was, right. Rivka was three. He's at least more than three. Bekitza, Lavan is definitely over, more than 100 years old. At this time of the day, he's definitely 100 years old. Okay. If 97 years ago Rivka got married, she was three. So for sure, Lavan, who was an active member at the time during the engagement, so for sure he was more than that. So he's definitely over 100, if not more. Says the Taipa, you see, even a 100-year-old man, he still has all the bad midas. He's still Lavan, nothing changes. A person who doesn't work upon himself, he stays the same person. All his negative character traits and his bad midas will stay with him unless you work on yourself. So you may turn over 100 years old, it's all there. And Lavan was the same Lavan. The same Lavan he was there, he was there today as well. Nothing changed. If you don't work upon yourself, to improve yourself, you'll stay exactly the same. Okay, so now Yaakov starts, he meets Rachel, he wants to marry Rachel, and Yaakov makes a deal with Lavan. And says Yaakov in Perichov Tes, Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer, Ebdocha, Sheva Shonim, Berachel, Bitcha Haktana. I want to marry Rachel, Bitcha Haktana. What is Yaakov emphasizing? Says Rashi. If I just say Rachel, if I want to marry Rachel, you, Lavan, you will go and bring me a Rachel from the shuk, from the marketplace. You bring me a different Rachel. Therefore, Yaakov emphasized. Rachel, Bitcha. Even that is not enough. True that the younger daughter is called Rachel and the older daughter is called Leah. But maybe Lavan will change the names. He'll rename Leah to be called Rachel and give him Leah. Therefore said Yaakov, Rachel Bitcha Haktana. Your youngest daughter called Rachel, that's the one I want. In the end, even that didn't work. The question is, let's had he just said Rachel Bitcha, and Lavan would change Leah's name to be called Rachel, does he really think that's what Yaakov meant? What's going on in Lavan's mind if you change her name to be Rachel? Is he innocently think that that's what Yaakov wanted when he said Rachel Bitcha? Yeah? No. Elamas, you're fooling him. Do you think he doesn't know that you know? Do you think that Yaakov is going to buy into this and think you're stupid? You have a daughter called Rachel, and Yaakov says, I want your daughter Rachel. So you're going to try and cheat him. Lavan will play dumb and pretend that he thought it's fine to change the name. Do you think that Yaakov won't see right through it? Won't Yaakov understand that you lied to him? So, if he's going to understand that you lied to him, so why play games? Just lie. If you're going to lie, so just say no. I lie. You want a rock? I give you Leah. What's the purpose? What is to be achieved? Playing dumb. When everyone understands, you know that he knows that you're lying. What is to be achieved?
Feel good about himself.
Why would he feel good about himself? In what way? Why would he feel good? He is lying. He's lying. He knows that Yaakov understands he's lying. So what? It's not official. Why? What's the difference? But everyone knows you're lying. What do you mean fix it up? He's definitely deceiving Yaakov. It's clear. And he knows that Yaakov knows that he's deceiving him. What?
He verified his word.
What does that help? But it doesn't look good because everyone sees right through it.
What? When they're caught red-handed, they'll misunderstand. They won't say, "Yeah, I lied." Cover it up by changing the description.
But if that works, if that's persuasive, having like a good lie, fine, say that. But this is a see-through. This is complete see-through. It's mad. Person, I wanted A, and you changed the name and give me B. It's ridiculous. So it's not a good cover-up. So what's the point? He knows that everyone knows he's lying. So what's he achieving? Says the Shurei Das, a Bloch from Tells, because it's easier if a person has an excuse, as flimsy as the excuse may be, but this helps him to deny truth. If I have an excuse, it's easier for me to deny the truth. Truth is very powerful. It's hard to directly deny truth. It's a hard thing. You have to be very brazen to do that. But if I have an excuse, as flimsy as it is, the better the excuse is, the easier it is to deny, which I know is the truth.
He was fooling himself.
Stop fooling himself, but it's a cover-up. It makes it less brazen. So it's much harder to tell Yaakov, "I lied to you. You wanted Rachel? I gave you Leah. Because I'm a liar." It's hard. It's hard to do that. But if I can make believe, pretend that it was a misunderstanding, even though I know, and you know that I'm lying, but it's easier because I have a cover-up. Exactly what you said. It's just you, psychology. I have a cover-up. I have what to fall back on. I have an excuse. As flimsy as it is, but I have an excuse. Truth is it's very painful truth. So if I can put up if I have excuses, it helps me stay away from the truth. This is human psychology. The same thing happened again, the same principle happened again in last week's parasha, when Yaakov went to steal the brachas from Yitzchak. Yitzchak asked him, "Are you Esav?" He says, "Ani Esav b'choyrecho." Says Rashi, "Ani, comma, Esav is your b'choyrecho." Later on, Yitzchak asked him again, "Are you Esav?" He says, "Ani, me." Didn't say Ani Esav. So again, let's take it over there. Was Yaakov deceiving Yitzchak? Yes or no? Yes, he definitely was deceiving Yitzchak. Yitzchak was being fooled that Yaakov was Esav. Is that mutter or aser in that situation? Was it aser or mutter to deceive Yitzchak? Mutter. Yaakov had the heter to deceive Yitzchak. So why are you playing games? What for? You're anyway deceiving him. So to say bluntly, "I am Esav." Why playing games? Ani, comma, Esav b'chayrecha. Or say Ani. Anyway, the result is the same. You are deceiving Yitzchak 100%. That's fine. That's mutter for you in your situation. Beseder. So just do it. Why play games? What is being achieved by playing games? Same as said. Yaakov was trying to minimize the damage. He had to lie. So he tried to lie with excuses. because that's less brazenness, less ozer to lie in such a way. Ani Esav b'chayrecha, I didn't actually lie. You did. You deceived him. But it's not as bad. I have an excuse. I didn't lie. I said ani Esav b'chayrecha. So Yaakov was trying to minimize the damage to his own nefesh. So it's true for us. When we make a Kabbalah to do tshuva, Yom Kippur, must really, if you don't cover yourself up, you will find yourself making excuses for yourself. Even if you know that's not what you meant. Yeah, you took upon yourself, I'm going to learn every day. All of a sudden, you find yourself learning 2 minutes a day. Maka, that what you meant? No, but I'm also learning. You have to understand yourself. Understand your surroundings, your family. Why is it they don't listen to what you say? Because they're making excuses. You've got to understand that's human nature. So you have to make sure that the MS is very clear and covered from all directions. You have no room for excuses. Okay. They get married. The wedding happens. And behold, it's discovered. And the cut, Rachel, it is Leah. How did that happen? So Rashi tells us in Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Chav Hei, says Rashi, what really happens? What happens? Says Rashi, that in fact Yaakov had given Rachel simonim. Yaakov was thought that maybe he'll be deceived, get deceived. And Yaakov gave simonim to Rachel. But when Rachel saw that Leah was being brought instead, Omro, achshav tikole machoisi, my sister will get embarrassed. Omdov amasrala oisem simonim. So out of concern for her sister, Rachel gave over the simonim to Leah. Now, if we'll stop right here, and we'll look into things, there's a tremendous, tremendous, mysterious nefesh from Rachel's part. Everyone knows, they knew, that Yaakov is gonna bring about the 12 Shvatim, Kai Yisrael. And here's Rachel's chance. Yaakov wants to marry Rachel. By Rachel enabling Leah to go in instead, she's risking that maybe Yaakov won't marry her. Is she guaranteed that Yaakov marry two sisters? It's not guaranteed. She's risking all her future. Even if Yaakov will marry her afterwards, she has now competition in bringing about the 12 Shvatim. There's now Leah in the picture. There's so much at stake, and Rachel is willing to give everything up just to prevent her sister from getting embarrassed. An unbelievable vitur, mysterious nefesh. But what really happened? So she's risking getting hurt. How hurt did Rachel get? What was the price Rachel paid for all this? It says in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayizkor Elohim es Rachel, Vayishmael Elohim, Vayiftach es Rachmo. Rachel was in fact an Akora. She was unable to conceive. It was impossible for her to conceive. Rachel tells Yaakov, Haveli boni mimayin meisan oichi. I am dead. I have no life if you don't give me children. But she was barren. What changed the situation? What schus did a nest happen that she was able to conceive? Vayizkor Elohim es Rachel, zokt Rashi in Perek Lamed Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayizkor zocha lo shemosra simoneo lachoisa. Hashem remembered that you gave the simon to your sister. Now vayiftach es rachmo. Hashem opened her womb. So what happened? The mysterious nefesh that Rachel did for her sister, where she was endangering herself to lose so much. Really? That gave her the children. She didn't lose from it. Adrabah, she gained from it. Ah, gewaltig. Punkt verkehrt. She thought she was giving up to her sister. She thought she, Adrabah, you were getting for yourself. It was an investment in yourself, because only in that schus, in the end of the day, were you zeicher to have Yosef and Binyamin. It was punkt verkehrt. And that's what we think. We think that it's hard to help people. We're losing out. Adra, you're gaining from it. The Gemara says, how do you keep your money? What's the good way of keeping your money? We think, in the bank account, lock it in. Melach, momen, chaser. Melach is something that preservatives. You preserve meat by salting it. How do you salt your money? How do you preserve your money? Chaser. Give to tzedakah. If you give to tzedakah, preserve the rest of your money. We feel, I'm giving away, I'm such a tzaddik. Adrabah, this will help you. So, it's amazing, amazing hargosha, that when you have opportunities to help people, you've got to realize, in fact, in the bigger picture, we don't see right now, we are gaining from it, we're helping ourselves. And Rachel didn't lose out from helping her sister, Adrabah, she only gained from it. Yaakov is working for Lavan. And there's many important things we should learn from the way, from Yaakov's integrity to Lavan. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Schirus, Perek Yud Gimel Alocha Zayin. Dr. Rambam, Kederech Shemuzhar Balabais Shliigzor Schara Oni. The same way the Balabais, the employer, is commanded not to steal from his employee. Kacha oni muzar shel digzor meleches balabais. Likewise, the employee, is that the right word? Employee? Is muzar not to steal from his employer. In what way? Vivatel ma'at bekan ma'at bekan. He mustn't waste time. We find that Chachomim, the Gemara and Brachas tell us that the poel doesn't even have to make the fourth bracha in Birkas Hamazon, because it's on expense of his employer. He doesn't have to say the fourth bracha. We find Kriya Shema, just say the first parasha, he won't say the rest, because his time belongs to the Balabais. Therefore, he doesn't have to make those brachas. V'chein chayav l'avoid b'kol koichoy. Says Rambam, the employee has to work with all his strength. So Dr. Rambam, Sher Yaakov Atzadik Oimer, ki bekol koichi avadati es avichem. The Rambam passes from Yaakov. The Yaakov says, I worked with all my strength. And therefore, says the Rambam, he got schar in this world. He says, Vayifroit Sa'ish Ma'oid Ma'oid. He got it. It's a middle connected middle. If you care about other people's money, then your money will be blessed. In this week's parasha, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Hei, when Yaakov was trading, when he was decided that all the spotted sheep will go to him, and the regular sheep will go to Lavan, it says, "Vayosar bayoymehu esatayoshim akudim vatluim." He took all the currently spotted sheep and gave them Yad Bonov. VaYaakov roye estoyin Lavan hanisores. So Yaakov is now grazing, tending to the rest of Lavan's sheep, and all the spotted ones are given to his sons. Why? Why can't Yaakov look after them all at the same time? Says the Medrash HaGadol, because she'en ha-sochir rashai la'atzis la'atzmai melocha im melechas balabais. The employee is not allowed to do a second job when he's working for his balabais. Not allowed to do two jobs at the same time. And therefore, Yaakov wasn't allowed to tend to the spotted sheep when he's tending the other sheep, because they're going to be for him. And this is passed in the Shulchan Aruch, in many, many places, that you can't do a second melacha. Even a shutaf, you have a shutvas, but you're working together, you can't do something else at the same time. People during the job, that they're still checking their stocks and doing all sorts of things during the job, it's not a seder. Because you have to be focused on your job, whatever your job is. But to manage other things is exactly what we're learning from over here. The Yaakov separated, he gave the rest of the sheep to his sons to deal with. He didn't want to herd them at the same time. People work in offices. There are photocopying machines. In offices you have phones. There's the office car. Can the employees, can they use? They want some photocopies for the home. It's print out something. Got a nice joke. A good joke was sent to him in his email. Got a message, an interesting message. He wants to print it out. Nice picture. So he wants to print it out. Is that permitted or is that also for himself, for his private use? What's the answer? What?
It depends, right?
So, by many firms, the boss is not doesn't using my money for your personal use. It's not to say that. I spoke to someone this week. He told me that in his firm, he works in a big high tech company. You have to pay money if you want to use the photocopy machine for yourself. You've got to pay money for it. What happens if everyone does it? Come on, it's a big company. Everyone uses the photocopy machine for themselves and prints out things. Everyone uses the company phone to make their private calls to Chutz Laaretz. Everyone, come on, everyone does it. Everyone does it. Yeah? So, question is, and the boss knows, it's just they can't control it. They cannot control what's happening. Does that create a minhag hamedina? Maybe everyone knows. I mean, the bosses know, big companies, they know what's happening, and they can't control it. So, just make it like a minhag. Al das kein. When you hire me, you know that. What?
They're doing it.
What, themselves? Yeah, what do you say?
Let's take a case where the boss is not happy with us.
Just have control. The big boss. He's the big boss. And he's not happy with it. But Maisa, there's no one. He doesn't spend his time speaking about it again and again. You know that once upon a time he said no. But it might be everyone's doing it. And he knows that. Well, do we have a minhag hamedina? He knows it. He knows it. We know that everyone's doing it. Does it create a minhag hamedina? Could we find in halacha something called minhag hamedina? Says Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah. The Gemara in Baruch Basra, the Mishnah in Baruch Basra says, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Shutfin want to build a wall. So Mishnah describes which material you're going to use. The Levanim, Fisim, the Gozis. Every wall has a different width. And the Mishnah says, Hakol keminhag hamedina. Ask the Gemara, Latuye mai. The Gemara in Daf Dalet says, Latuye mai, what are you including when you say Hakol keminhag hamedina? Says the Gemara, Latuye asra denigi behutzav adafna. Even a place where it's acceptable to build a wall of chutzav adafna, like a type of canes, that's also good enough. Ask Tosfos and Daf Beis, why does the Gemara have to go in details? Hakol keminhag hamedina, to include whatever. Why does the Gemara have to elaborate and say, even a place of chutzav adafna? Well, leave it as a principle. The principle is, if whatever the mukubal is, that's good enough. If they have a minhag where they put a piece of paper, cardboard, so let it be. Whatever the minhag is, the minhag is. Why does the Gemara have to elaborate and tell us what it is? So, Dr. Ben Utam, because the Gemara is telling us the minimum. The minimum is chutzav adafna. Less than that is a minhag shtus. There's something called a minhag shtus. Says Ben Utam, mikan yesh minhagim she'en nismoich aleim. Afilu eichad etnan hakol keminhag hamedina. Even in places where you go after minhag, there's something called a minhag shtus. So it doesn't count as a minhag. So if people use cardboard to make walls, it's a minhag shtus because it doesn't work. So I can still force you to put up a proper wall. Therefore he says, a minhag is built from people stealing. Bets and the boss, it's his paper, it's his phone, it's his company car. Elama, people have a minhag, people steal. That's a minhag shtus, it doesn't create a minhag. And therefore, if he's makpid, then you have no heta. The fact that everyone else steals doesn't give you a heta. But as Rav Mordechai said, it's true. Many cases, not the boss allows, within reason, he allows you to use that, something else. Just one last point, we won't get over time. What happens if the boss is not beseder? The boss doesn't treat his workers properly. In Shuvas Igros Moshe, in Yoroteh, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Lamed Ches, says the Igros Moshe, he has a case, a guy whose boss doesn't pay on time. And this worker wants to start showing up late. If he's mezalzel in me, why should I come on time? Why should I put in an effort to come on time if he doesn't bother to pay me on time? So Dr. Moshe, you're absolutely wrong. Since you're keeping the position, if you want to leave a vakasha, but if you're keeping your position, you have to work b'nei emona. You have to be faithful. And just because he's not beseder, doesn't allow you. You still have to be. You have to be neman. And we learn this from Yaakov Avinu. He says, right from Yaakov Avinu, Lavan was cheating him right and left, but still Yaakov was faithful to his position and worked with kol koichi, with all his strength, day and night and summer and winter. He was working, even though Lavan was mistreating him. Because if you're keeping the position, you have to be faithful. And therefore you have no right to show up late because he's late. So you should come on time and sue him. What you need to get. Or leave. Or make a deal with him. Tell him if he agrees that he's late, you're late, say that. But you have to be Neman. Shuzeicha b'zad Hashem. Be Yashar. Shuzeicha all the brachas of Yaakov Avinu. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.